We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the volume of nature which you have given us. And we pray that you open the treasures which you have for us, as only you can do, and that as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our love also for him may grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here at Water of Life, we are celebrating Nature Retreat number 29. And it's been a custom for the last 29 years to zero in on one object in nature, comparing it with Scripture, and trying to reveal the secrets that the Holy Spirit reveals to us as we grow in grace and knowledge. Normally, we meet together at a certain place. Last few years, it's been at Sugar Creek Bible Study, but due to the virus this year, we are using conference call, everyone calling in from home. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to bless us. The text is from Job chapter 12, mainly verse 7, but reading 7, 8, and 9. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought us? And the subject of our nature retreat this year is the wood duck. And the theme is born to die. The wood duck is one of the very few birds that makes a nest in the hollow of a tree. And it's very, very important for a little one what kind of a nest they're raised in. And here in our house, or on our property, we have a barn, and every year the barn swallows come, and they build their nests in the bottom of the barn. And it's exciting to see that, because the nests are only about 2.5 or 3 feet above our head when we walk into the barn, and we get a good look at the little ones as they're growing. And leaving the nest is a very important time in the life of a little bird. The parallel in our own life, I suppose, would be maybe the first time we learned to ride a bike without mom and dad holding on to it. We don't forget that. Or later on in life, when we got our driver's license, and the first time we did a solo ride alone. These are important times in our life. And the leaving of the nest is an important time also in the life of birds. Now, for the barn swallows, it's easy to see about when they're going to be leaving the nest, although I've never actually seen one leave it. But they have as many as 4 or 5 in a nest. And when you have 5 little chicks in a nest and they start to grow, it doesn't take long before they're overcrowding the nest. And you walk up there and you look at the nest at about 2.5 feet away, and here are these 5 little birds looking down at us. It's really a neat thing. And the next time you look, there are 4. Somebody got kicked out. Probably not ready yet, because you see them running around on the bottom of the on the floor of the barn. They can't fly yet, some of them. And then when they do learn to fly a little bit, they get as high as a window, and that's about it. But sometimes they're forced out of the nest by virtue of the fact that there's no more room anymore. We had a robin that built a nest near the eave trough, right outside of our kitchen window. And one year I saw something that's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in nature, and I'll never ever forget it. The mother robin had laid 4 eggs, and the little ones were growing, and three of them had left the nest. So that meant there was one left. And I happened to be in the kitchen. I looked out the window at the nest, and the remaining little chick was standing on the edge of the nest. And he was looking out. And I thought to myself, this little guy is going to take off. So I started watching. And he's looking around, and he's looking around and standing there on the edge of the nest. I watched him for about 45 minutes, and then I was rewarded. He took off. And I got to see his first flight. And normally, when robins take their first flight, they fly a little ways and then down they go, and they land on the ground, and the parents try to take care of them from there. This one flew in a straight line across the whole length of our backyard, and he landed in a tree on a branch just as high as he was when he was in the nest. It was a perfect first flight. It was an amazing thing that I saw, and I'll never forget it. So now we look at the little chicks that the wood duck has hatched. And when they leave the nest, which, by the way, is the day after they're born, and they look around, the hole in the tree is 10, 15, or 20 feet above them. They have no chance of leaving the nest. In other words, they're born to die. Or are they? Our first thought would be, what a terrible, terrible place to build a nest when the little ones have no chance of getting out of it. But what we have to remember here is the role of the mother wood duck. She's the one that builds the nest. And she's the one that determines where the nest is going to be built. And she doesn't take the first choice. I know human beings make wood duck houses. I'm not sure how that works out. Usually when man tries to help nature, a lot of times it doesn't work out too well. But we're talking about how God planned it in field of nature. And so the wood duck has to find a hollow in a tree, hollow made by a squirrel or a woodpecker or just rotting away. So she's got to find a hollow in the tree, and then, but it's got to be located in a specific place. For one thing, there has to be a pond nearby. For another thing, there can't be any sharp rocks at the bottom of the tree. It's got to be a place where there's a soft landing. And when she looks in the hole of the hollow of the tree, she looks down to where the nest is going to be. And that has to be just in the right place also. It can't be too shallow, and it can't be too deep. If it's too shallow, predators can get in there and eat the eggs or kill the chicks. If it's too deep, they're never going to be able to get out into the wide, wide world. So everything has to be just right. And she'll look and look and look and look and look and look and look until she finds exactly the right place. Why does she do that? Because she loves her little ones. That's why she does it. And this female wood duck is perhaps the best type of the Holy Spirit that you're going to find in all nature. At least she's in the top three. It's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. So she lays from 2 to 12 eggs. And let's look at an example here of, say, when the mother hen lays 12 eggs. So she lays them one egg at a time. One day at a time. One egg per day. So the laying of the 12 eggs is going to take 12 days. So she lays her first egg and then kind of pushes it to the side, covers it with a little bit of feathers. Next day she comes back, lays the next egg, does the same thing, pushes it aside, still in the nest though, covered with little feathers again. And she does this 12 days in a row. When all 12 eggs have been laid, she starts the period of incubation. And she sits on the eggs. And the amazing thing is that all 12 chicks are born at the same day. Within a 24-hour period. All 12 of them. Which, in a way, makes it convenient for the mother because she doesn't have to remember the dates that all 12 of them were born. They were all born the same day. The problem comes when she's baking birthday cakes and she had to bake 12 birthday cakes instead of one. And that's not easy either. So anyway, they all are ready. They all crack the egg at the same time, same day. And they have a sharp tooth. It's called an egg tooth. And they hack that thing away and they make a little hole in the eggshell. And then from there, they work it out until it's big enough for them to crawl out. The mother doesn't help them. They're on their own getting out of that eggshell because she knows they're going to need strength when they do finally get out. Before they crack their way out of the egg, an amazing happening takes place. And I don't know if there's anything else in nature that can compare to this. And what happens is this. The mother hen gets very, very close to the eggs and listens. And when she hears peeping sounds coming from inside the eggs, she answers. And so the little ones are in the eggshell peeping, and she's outside the eggshell peeping back. And there's a conversation going on, communication between the mother and the little ones. And this is while they're still in the eggshell. They haven't cracked out yet. So there's a communication between mother and children before they even come into the world out of the egg. When they do come out of the egg, how long are they going to stay there before they leave? And the answer is one day. The day that they crack out of the egg is the day that they're going to leave the nest and go out into the world. Well, how do they do that? How do they do it? The mother flies up to the doorway, the hollow in the tree, leaves that and goes down and stands at the bottom of the tree. The hollow of the tree is located different lengths in different situations, but it can be located as high as 60 feet above the ground. 60 feet! Normally it's from 10 to 20, but even that, it's a long, long way. So the chicks, as soon as they hear the mother calling, she's giving signals. She's sitting at the bottom of the tree waiting and talking to the little ones. And when they hear her, they get excited and they start working their way up the inside of the tree to the hole that led into the tree. And they can do this because their claws have sharp, sharp edges on them, and then their beak, they use that sharp egg tooth to inch their way up little by little by little by little, and then it takes a lot of strength to do this, but they do it because they want to be with their mother, and she's out there calling to them, and they're answering, and they're crawling up. Then they get up to the hole in the tree. and they look out, what do they see? She's way, 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 way down there. It's a long way up. One person figured it would be the equivalent of a human being jumping out 400 feet. And the little one is up there and wants to get down to the mother. And it's going to take a leap of faith to do that. If she doesn't, if the chick doesn't do it, the chick's going to die. If the chick does do it, takes that leap of faith and jumps, remember, it's only been out of the eggshell for one day. Just one day. There's no way it's going to fly. She has to fall. So she listens to her mother. Her mother is calling, calling, calling. And the chick jumps, and down it goes. And it lands on a soft place at the base of the tree. There's no rocks there. If there were rocks there, it'd get killed. But the mother made sure that everything was just right here. She figured everything out. Everything is all planned for the safety of the little one. So one by one after the other, they're jumping out of this tree and landing down at the base where their mother is on the ground. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if there's anything else like it in nature. And when they land down there, then as soon as all of them are there, and by the way, before she started giving the signals to come, she made sure there were no predators around. The nest was located at the base of a tree where there was some grass and soft things, but there were no heavy trees or anything, or bushes real close to it where predators could hide. She checks this all out before she starts giving the signal. And then when the whole family's together down there, she walks over to the pond, and the chicks have a great, great chance of surviving. And so when they were born into the world, it looked like they were born to die. But through a miracle, they lived. I don't know if there's a better type of the Holy Spirit in all Scripture. And you and I for sure can see our own life portrayed here. When the chicks were born into the world, it looked like they were born to die. They had no chance. And it's the same way with us. We were conceived. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me." And he's talking about being a sinner when his body was being formed in the womb of his mother before he ever even entered into the outer world. Same as the little chicks of the wood duck. We're looking at our own history here. When Adam fell into sin, rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says he took the whole human race with him. More than that, the whole creation was put under a curse. So the question would be, how can that be? You know, that doesn't seem fair because Adam did something and I get punished for it. It doesn't seem fair. Well, the Bible says that God is fair. God is fair. He's not unjust. And where were you and I when Adam fell into sin and rebelled against God? We were in Adam's loins. That's where we were. We all are descended from Adam. And when we were in his loins, we had a part in all this. So the old hymn writer was right when he said, "In Adam's fall, we sinned all." Now, we would not know this unless the Holy Spirit told it to us. But there's a beautiful picture of this whole thing in the life of the wood duck and the little ones. And here, you know, we have the reading in Job chapter 12. We read that, verses 7, 8, and 9. And notice how the Holy Spirit is talking about creation here. And I'm going to read it again. Job chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. "Ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air," like the wood duck, "and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee." the ground we walk on. And the fish of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these things the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. So there really are two volumes of things that are important to us in this world. One is the volume of Holy Scripture, and the other is what I call the volume of nature. And that's what Job is talking here about here in chapter 12, the volume of nature. And a truth that has been overlooked so much in our own time, and very rarely, I think, perceived by anybody. And that is that we can learn an awful lot about the Lord God by looking at the volume of nature if we compare what we see in the volume of nature with what we read in the volume of Scripture. The two go hand in hand. The volume of nature teaches us what the volume of Scripture, it amplifies it for us. In a way we can see, we hear the volume of Scripture, we hear that read, by faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and we see it unfolding in the volume of nature if the Holy Spirit opens it to us. And the truth of the matter is that the same Holy Spirit that inspired every word of Scripture is also the same Holy Spirit that was involved in the creation in Genesis chapter 1, with the Father and the Son. So what's in creation is teaching us in the same way as it is in the volume of Scripture, if we compare nature with the volume of Scripture. And so we see here in this mother hen a beautiful, beautiful type of the Holy Spirit that's in control of things from the very beginning. And the God of Scripture assures us that the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit control every single thing. Everything in the world is under their control. There is nothing that isn't. There are no accidents in nature or in our life. It's all controlled. And so when we look at the eggs of the mother hen down there and say, well, what a terrible place to lay eggs. The little ones aren't going to have a chance. Oh, yeah, they are. It was the best place to lay eggs where the predators can't get at them. It was the best place. And when they got to the top and they're looking out at the wide world down there and they're seeing their mother way, way down there, it's a scary thing because they can't fly. They've only been out of the egg one day, but she's calling to them. And she communicated with them, by the way, before they even cracked the eggshell. There was communication there. I believe this teaches us volumes. For one thing, we know that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The Holy Spirit tells us that. So what do we make of that? Do we say, well, you know, this is a rare exception. It happened once, but it's never going to happen again. Or is the Holy Spirit showing us something that maybe happens over and over and over again? And my own belief from Scripture is that when the father and the mother in a home are studying Scripture every day together and reading it, and the mother is pregnant, she's with child, that when the father and the mother, the husband and wife in a Christian marriage, are studying Scripture and reading it every day and discussing it every day, I believe they're communicating with their little one. I believe that the little one can hear what's going on still in its mother's womb. And it knows the voice of its mother. And there's a bond that is formed there. This is how the Holy Spirit works. By grace are ye saved through faith. And boy, it took faith for that little one to jump out of that hole and go down many, many, many feet, maybe even 60 feet, and land down there by its mother. But it trusted its mother. The Holy Spirit has this contact with the elect children of God, which I believe starts all the way from the womb. And so this the mother hen, the wood duck mother hen, is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit that was involved in creation and in creating the house that we lived in. And it's not by a mistake that we were born in the part of the world that we were born. That was all figured out by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's all under control. It's not by accident that you and I, as God's elect, were born in a country where the gospel is being preached. It's not a mistake. It's not by accident. It's all under control. And so we have this beautiful, beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit at work, even in the little ones from the womb. The volume of nature, the female wood duck, the mother hen.